Good morning. It's 9:30 on Wednesday, the fourth day of June of 2025, and this is the Green Valley News live from Sun Sounds of Arizona in Tucson. Mark DeGroff with you this morning. Welcome you aboard. Let's see what's happening weather-wise in Green Valley and Suarita areas. Today, abundant sunshine, high of 93 degrees, winds out of the south-southwest, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, low around 65, the winds are out of the southwest for 10 to 15. Tomorrow, sunny skies and 96, with winds for 10 to 15 miles an hour out of the southwest. So today, high at 93. Humidity is currently 32%. Cloud coverage at 8. Chance of rain 1%. The UV index, enough time to get yourself red outside, is 11. Mr. Sun came up this morning at 5:18 and will set tonight at 7:26. It's currently 82 degrees in Green Valley. Okay, let's get started. The Suarita United School, Unified School District, Governing Board, voted unanimously last Wednesday to move forward with a new program that could increase the number of students that leave the district with high-demand, high-wage jobs. Elevate AED Arizona was started 5 years ago by the Greater Phoenix Chamber Association, with one high school that has grown to 6 school districts and 22 high schools, said Randy Graff. Randy's the president of the Green Valley Suarita Chamber of Commerce. SUSD will be the first district outside of Maricopa County to participate in the program, according to Superintendent Manny Valenzuela. The Chamber and the Green Valley Suarita Chamber Foundation are partners in the endeavor. The program allows students to choose among 10 highly demanding career fields already identified by Pima County's Economic Development Department and take courses so that they can earn dual enrollment credits or obtain credentials in that field. The students will also be given the opportunity to shadow or intern, and the hope is that those will lead straight into jobs upon graduation, Graff said. The high-paying, high-demand jobs in Pima County are construction, management, administration, marketing and sales, education, engineering, financial services, health sciences, information technology and cybersecurity, law and public safety, corrections and security, manufacturing, and transportation and distribution logistics. Graff said SUSD already has an excellent career and technical education program that offers courses in some of the fields recommended by the Chamber Association, and those will be enhanced by the program. The Greater Phoenix Chamber Association will pay the salaries of a district director and a career coach for both Walden Grove and Suarita High Schools for 2 years. It will also pay for half of a business liaison's partner's salary, and the Green Valley Suarita Chamber Foundation will pay for the other half so that the liaison can work full-time, according to Graff. The liaison will work with the business community to try and get them on board with what we're doing and then try to get their involvement or buy-in into this, Graff said. The liaison will also help get the business community to come and visit those students. They'll get them talking about the different industry sectors, and that's what's ahead for them if they do go into those sectors, he said. Yeah, and he added that the Chamber Association will spend at least $250,000 each year for the two-year pilot program. What the Phoenix Chamber Foundation was looking for in the elevated program is sustainability. So they just don't want to throw this all over the state. They want to know that there is, in fact, a community that's going to embrace it. And then after 2 years, we'd be able to continue the program so that we'll be looking for local funding sources and whatnot to support our Chamber Foundation, which will ultimately be supporting the program, Graff said. A memorandum of understanding should be signed by all of the parties by the end of the week, he said, and then the hunt will begin to hire personnel. We'll be spending some time, I'm sure, working with some of the programs that they've got up in Maricopa County that have been established up there. So identifying exactly how to best implement it with some of the staff that they have in some of the school districts up there, Graf said. Valenzuela said he was thrilled when Graf brought the program to them after learning about it at an event in Phoenix. To me, it's exciting in many ways. First, it represents this, what I simply call the Suarita Winds way, or the Suarita Winds approach, that we come together and try to find common interests that are for the greater good, and then we work on it together, Valenzuela said, adding that he's looking forward to the collaboration. I imagine that they will pick people that have unique skill sets, that have business acumen, have connections and business sector affinity with different industries in the region, so that they can grab that expertise and also open doors of opportunity for internships and future job placements, and that all of our proverbial arrows will continue to fly in the same direction so that education, workforce, economic development, and just overall prosperity in our community will rise because we're acting intentionally together, Valenzuela said. The board's decision came several months after they signed an agreement with the University of Arizona's Center for Semiconductor Manufacturing. The U of A is in the process of building the nation's first career and technical education program in semiconductor manufacturing, and SUSD students could be participating just within a couple of years. Well, looking at travels with two sisters, nine strange features, our curiosity and sense of adventure seems to have no end. We're always searching for new places to see, upcoming events, and new adventures. We regularly read the Arizona Daily Star, the Green Valley News, Arizona Highways Magazine, Tucson Lifestyle, Tucson Weekly, and regularly stroll through a large variety of favorite websites. And recently we saw an interesting article about the nine strangest landmarks in Arizona. According to the World Atlas, a geography and travel publication, these more than strange and overlooked attractions hold some of the most memorable sights and experiences. First off, Meteor Crater, also known as Barringer Crater, is located on Interstate 40, just 18 miles west of Winslow. The central focus of the site is the meteorite impact crater that was caused by the result of an asteroid colliding with the Earth approximately 50,000 years ago. The evidence of the impact is 1 mile across and 550 feet deep. There are several meteor craters throughout the world, but the Barringer Crater is reportedly the best preserved site, and reportedly there are about 200,000 visitors that explore this site on an annual basis. In May of 2016, we were among dozens of visitors on that day. We walked the outdoor observation trails, took multiple photos of the crater, and stared for a very long time at the impressive hole in the ground. And prior to leaving the site, we strolled through the Discovery Center, where we gathered an abundance of information and took photos of information panels. The site is impressive, educational, and fun for like us, people like us who spend hot time the entire day. Food options are available. And a side note, I myself have been there, and it is quite a stunning thing to see. Also, the Apollo astronauts trained there. Then there's the London Bridge, listed as one of the seven man-made marvels of Arizona. It's located in Lake Havasu City. This impressive bridge is not the Tower Bridge of London, but it did indeed stand over the River Thames in that beautiful city. On our visit, we walked the entire length of the bridge, admired the splendid architecture, stopped to inspect the highly decorated metal lampposts that were made from melted down Napoleonic cannons, and located some World War II bullet holes, and took dozens of photos. And there's Tovria Castle, listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It's located on East Van Buren Street in Phoenix. This impressive multi-level structure was built in 1928 as the centerpiece of an exclusive resort. For some time, it was a private residence. During our visit in January 2016, we were impressed with the well-maintained building and grounds. And there's a Chapel of the Holy Cross, and this listed on the National Register of Historic Places. And it's located on Chapel Road in Sedona. It was built in 1956. The chapel is an architectural marvel and is considered one of the man-made wonders of Arizona. This Roman Catholic chapel, open to all people of all faiths, is easily spotted with its 90-foot iron cross. We spent hours at the chapel having conversation with other visitors from several U.S. states and other countries. The site is where we have revisited on numerous occasions. Then there's Horseshoe Bend, a curve in the Colorado River, and it's located just 5 miles south of the Glen Canyon Dam in Page. This feature has become a major tourist attraction, and the number of visitors has significantly increased in the last 10 years. We finally reached the edge of a cliff, and the view of the river was magnificent. We took numerous photos of the site. And there's Hunt's Tomb, listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It's located on top of a desert hill in Phoenix. We found this site in October 2015 while strolling through Papago Park. At the site, we located a marker of all of the individuals who were buried at this site. We stayed there for a while, sitting on a bench, enjoying an incredible view of the city of Phoenix. Then there's Oatman. It's listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It's a westernmost town on Arizona Route 66. The town, with a long history of mining, boom and bust, is named in honor of Olive Oatman, a woman captured in an Indian raid near Gila Bend and later released. During our travels around our adopted state, Arizona, they have not explored Pumpkin Spring, which is located at the Grand Canyon, or the Gigantus Hedicus in Kingman. Biosphere 2 is located on Route 77, just south of the town of Oracle. It's a 40-acre structure that was originally built to be a self-sustaining artificial living environment to see if the closed system could sustain human life. Its mission is research, outreach, teaching, and learning about the Earth. For those who wish to spend the entire day, food is available. And the Titan Missile Museum, located on I-19, listed on the National Register of Historic Places, and it's off Duval Mine Road in Suarita. The museum is the only United States solo that still contains an anti-ballistic missile. Of course, the warhead's been removed. It is quite a thing to see. Throughout the tour, guides disseminate evaluate information about the site, the Cold War era, and duties of the crew that were there. Special tours are also available. Longer tours are available as well. And the state of Arizona offers an opportunity to experience an abundance of breathtaking and intriguing places that entice all of us to stop, take some pictures, and be grateful that we do live in the Grand Canyon state. It is 9:43 here at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Pima County Supervisors Tuesday approved 4-1 adding $33.5 million to annual affordable housing programs, and in a separate vote approved a 10-year policy in a 3-2 vote to raise at least $200 million for that same cause. The $3.5 million will be added to the $5 million already allocated to gap funding for affordable housing since July 1st of 2022. The new $8.5 million allocation will start on July 1st of this year. The county has funded 19 projects recommended by the Pima County Regional Affordable Housing Commission since the $5 million allocation began. The commission will also make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors annually for approval on how future allocations are divided and used. Gap funding is used to incentivize developers to launch or complete housing projects. The funding requires the projects to maintain affordability for 30 years, and the overall affordable house funding will also be eligible to use in programs to assist people that are already in homes. County administrators Jan Lesher told the board that the majority of the $3.5 million would come from interest on American Rescue Plan Act funds, but staff would have to update supervisors on how much as the fiscal year gets closer to ending on June 30th. We don't program that into the budget initially because we don't know exactly what it will be, Lesher said. So it becomes part of our carry forward. But now as we get closer to the end of the fiscal year, we're able to identify that more accurately. She also told supervisors that the staff could also propose to reduce the contingency fund to help offset the $3.5 million allocation. The item was added to Tuesday's meeting by Supervisor Matt Hines, whose District 12 includes most of Suarita. His office noted the county's housing challenges affect urban, rural, and tribal areas. The agenda item noted rural communities seeing issues with aging manufactured homes falling into disrepair with scarce investment opportunities. Urban areas have rising rents, limited ownership opportunities. Tribal areas and historically underserved neighborhoods lack access to affordable and quality housing. Hines noted that the $3.5 million would not increase the county's primary property tax rate. However, Supervisor Steve Christie, whose District 4 includes Green Valley, said that he has continually opposed raising property taxes to pay for affordable housing. What happens after the home is paid off and after the years of hard work and labor and expense is that the owner of the house is still really not the owner. They're merely paying rent to the county because the county is imposing taxes, like my colleague, Supervisor Hines, is proposing. And like any good landlord, if those property taxes aren't paid, the house will be taken from them. Christie called for the item being tabled until county staff could hold countywide listening sessions for the next 30 days. He did add that he supported previous board approvals to push the item to a following meeting to give the public more time to learn about it. Christie's move died after it didn't receive support from the other four supervisors. The previous tables on an item related to affordable housing that Christie referenced was for the separate proposal from Hines for 3-cent increase to the primary property tax for 10 years. Hines requested the original 3-cent proposal removed from Tuesday's agenda and had a new 10-year policy on the meeting's addendum. The new 10-year policy was also approved during the meeting and could add at least $200 million to the $8.5 million annual allocation. Board Chair Rex Scott and Christie opposed the item. We estimate based on those numbers it should bring in sufficient funds to take care of approximately one-third or 12,500 housing units of the 36,000 affordable housing units that we will need in this county over the next decade, Hines said, citing an ECHO Northwest study that was commissioned by the board. The study's preliminary findings reported 116,000 additional housing units are needed in Pima County in the next 20 years. The policy will begin July 1st of 2026 next year, calls for the county administrator to include up to an additional 3 cents of the primary property tax rate to an affordable housing fund annually in the recommended budget. The policy also stipulates the annual allocation will not be less than the prior year's amount unless the Board of Supervisors determines economic conditions do require it. And the policy does not call for the mandated 3-cent primary property tax each year, but increases are possible if needed to add the 3 cents worth of each year's additional allocation to the fund. The county administrator will have the discretion to recommend increases along with reallocating existing funding within the budget to meet the policy's annual increase requirements. It is, as my colleagues from District 3 said, it is a step, a bold step, but it's not enough, Hines said. It's not nearly enough, but it is something that the county can become involved in, and we really desperately need to do, as we've heard here in the past couple of meetings in discussing this item. The Pima County Board of Supervisors approved a resolution on Tuesday to officially voice its opposition to increased militarization along the U.S.-Mexico border. Supervisor Steve Christie, whose District 4 includes Green Valley, opposed the resolution in the 4-1 vote. The resolution opposes the transfer of Roosevelt Reservation lands from the Department of the Interior to the Department of Defense. $46.5 billion in the U.S. House budgets for border walls and border wall construction in San Rafael Valley. The Roosevelt Reservation is a 60-foot-wide strip of land that's along U.S. side of the border in Arizona, California, and New Mexico. The resolution also directed the county administrator and federal lobbyists to communicate the county's opposition, as well as other efforts, to increase militarization along the U.S.-Mexico border. And residents who hoped that the former Desert Sky 6 cinema in Sorita could have a second life as a luxury theater will have to wait just a little bit longer to find out if that's going to happen. Due diligence was extended until mid-July. And Scott Castle, who's the director of operations, a part owner of Roadhouse Cinemas, said an investment group wants his company to take over the property, and it sounds like the Roadhouse is still engaged, we heard on Monday. The state is holding a public meeting on June 17th in Suarita for the Sonoran Corridor project that would connect Interstates 10 and 19 through Suarita. The in-person meeting with the Arizona Department of Transportation is at the Suarita Unified School District Auditorium. That's located at 350 West Suarita Road. It'll be held from 5:30 to 7 p.m. It includes a presentation at 6 p.m. ADOT will also have a virtual meeting on June 18th through Zoom. You can enter 880-6176-5943 as the meeting ID, or you can call them. The public can also call 669-444-9171 for information. ADOT is beginning the engineering and environmental study for the Sonoran Corridor, also known as State Route 410. The proposed freeway would have an I-19 connection just south of El Toro Road in Suarita, run east to about Alvernon Way, and then north to Old Valle Road, and finally east to Rita Road to connect with I-10. ADOT is now in the Tier 2 Development Impact Statement phase of the project. The Tier 2 EIS will develop and evaluate options for a 400-foot-wide roadway with a 2,000-foot-wide corridor identified during the Tier 1 study. The Tier 2 study will also look at a no-build option. The public can provide written comments to ADOT by email at Sonoran Corridor, that's one word, at az.gov, or at the ADOT Sonoran Corridor Study Team. Email is Sonoran Corridor, that's Sonoran Corridor, Corridor, one word, at azdot.gov. 9:52 and change here. Well, from fall and early spring, as far as the 13-year-old Scott Schmidt is concerned, his experiment is a big success. Because through the fall, Finkelstein, who's a trumpet player and is a president of the Green Valley Stage Band, a member of the Big Bound Sounds of Green Valley, and a volunteer with Continental Elementary School's music program. Several years ago, he and a lot of band members of the stage band and big band decided they want to play during the summers, and hence the Green Valley Summer Big Band was born. Every May, they begin rehearsing once a week for a couple of end-of-summer concerts at the Community Performance and Arts Center. When Finkelstein began leading the band about 4 years ago, he brought one of his students along and eventually a couple of other kids who would show up hoping to play too. Last year, Schmidt, a former Continental student, was among them. So was Michelle Martinez Beltran and her friend Blythe Porter. This year, though, with the blessing of the band, Finkelstein went to the band directors at Suarita and Walden Grove High Schools to entice more students to join them. He feels as though he hit the jackpot because he recruited just as many students as gray hairs, as he calls the older band members. And during the first rehearsal last week, 15 students showed up. I've always harbored an interest in trying to get the school-age kids involved in music, Finkelstein said. This is a chance to get them to play, to put where they're learning to work, and have fun doing it. Finkelstein pairs each student with an older band member who plays the same instrument. And when he was introduced to 84-year-old Craig Altschul last year, he's been playing the tenor saxophone for about 7 months after giving up on the trumpet. Altschul's been playing the sax for more than 20 years, and having spent decades playing the clarinet. I thought he'd been playing for a long time when we started, Altschul said. It was just easy to play together and fun. Playing with kids is just a fun time, Altschul said. I think everybody just relaxes and has fun with it. To me, it doesn't matter what age people are. We're just playing the music. Finkelstein said the band has always been supporting of the youngsters. They've been playing, many of them, for years, and it's a chance for them to see the love of music being transferred to the next generation, he said. The kids will engage in the conversations, and they'll have a chance to share what they know about music and maybe some of their life experiences. Schmidt said he was intimidated at first going to school music and real jazz, but says he does love it. It's really a good way for beginners to progress, to jump into a really harder band. Either you learn it or you just fail, he said. In my opinion, it helped me learn a lot more about how to play. Martinez Beltran, a 16-year-old Walden Grove trumpet player, loves rehearsing with the band. What's the best part? Listening to how great a trumpet sounds and listening to the different kinds of balances and musical styles that our band is equipped to play. She and Porter, piano player, are enjoying the challenge as well. Some of them are simple. Some of them are like, oh, you know, don't even know what I'm doing, Porter said. This year, the Summer Big Band will end the year playing three concerts. The first one is August 6th at Green Valley Recreation's West Center. CPAC will host the other two on September 24th and 25th. And the biggest challenge now will be to find enough space on the stage for all of the players, Finkelstein said with a grin. Well, let's see here. With more than 300 miles walk along Les Jogues, Dana Barnes of Green Valley continues on her 1,200-mile journey. Barnes reached Wales on Sunday, traveling through the Cornwall, Devon, and Somerset counties. So far, she said the weather has been mostly excellent, with some wet days but no downpours. She began her journey from Land's End, England, to John O'Groats, Scotland, on May 9th, and is scheduled in on August 12th. The trek follows numerous natural trails in the United Kingdom and is about 1,200 miles. Her next move is to take on the Offa's Dyke National Trail, which roughly follows the border between England and Wales. And a really, really quick look at safety briefings here from the police in Suarita and Green Valley. Police received a call from a couple on South Sumac Drive who wanted their adult son removed from their home after he made some unusual comments. They were told how to go about getting someone evicted through the courts. And the Sheriff's Department received a report that a neighbor who has an active injunction against harassment was harassing them again by banging on a common wall. A West Santa Maria Drive resident called the Sheriff's Department around 2 in the morning after hearing strange noises and discovered someone had fired 8 or 9 shots into their windshield. Detectives have been assigned. And the Sheriff's Department received a call from a man who was worried that his friend might be dead because he hadn't answered the phone in 5 days. The caller told dispatchers his friend's wife is a bad person who had probably killed him and is probably seeing another man. He said the wife turned him away when he tried to return the tools. Deputies checked and said the man was fine. And on that happy note, I'll bid you goodbye for the day. Just reminding you that if you do miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Just left-click on broadcast information and audio, and then under programming, links, and then left-click on-demand podcasts. You can now listen to Sun Sounds on your favorite Echo Dot or other smart home device. Mark DeGroff, thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next Wednesday. Till then, enjoy yourselves. Have a great week.